it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And you know what that means? It is officially PK's hour with the Robbie and Rex Show program. And we've already been rolling with PK, but we got this final hour, and then he's going to head off to multiple press conferences with the Tennessee Titans. Like to remind you that Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We're broadcasting for the Bisbee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So, PK, a lot of reaction continuing to come in here. Brian Summers asking us if we're doing the Wet Bandits cosplay, which is the Home Alone guys, but you've taken off your beanie. I call them stocking caps. You call them beanies?
No.
What do you call them?
I call it like a wool hat.
It's a stocking cap, right? Is this a stocking cap?
No, a stocking cap is more like what you would wear if you were robbing someone. Like that would, I don't know. I don't really have a word for it. I call it a hat.
Is it a toque?
Apparently it's a beanie.
A toque, my daughter tells from me Canada, and you're not from Canada, Nick. Don't use that word. You sound like you're...
You'd like to be from Canada.
I'm being funny here. You sound like you're culturally appropriating.
Interesting. Chili says, I don't understand this fixation with Final Say. If Mike Herner writes a great article, PK uses Final Say to make a couple of edits, it doesn't mean Herndon isn't credited and responsible for the article. And if PK has to use his Final Say a lot, the Herndon will probably not last long at the site. Very interesting bringing it to writing and editing.
It's not the same.
It's not quite
Look,
the same.
We want Final Say because we want to know. It's more important when a team is bad. We want to know who's making the picks.
Right.
We want to know who's signing things. And, well, how is that not important?
And teams don't want us to know. So when it's this little dance that we do.
When you're picking a guard at 11, we want to know who's picking the guard at 11 and who to stake that on. And likewise, if you're laying, especially with what's coming up now, if they decide to stick and pick and they take a quarterback, if they trade back, I want to know who gets the credit for that. If it's a rousing success, organizationally they get credit, of course. But who ultimately signed off on the mastermind move or on the move that sets them back another 5 years?
Yeah, look,
What's wrong with that? Like,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, but the problem is, like, look, you may be different from me on this, but there's still a lot of stuff in the Vray Rob era that I don't have clarity, you know, on who did what or who said what, how much blame Vrabel gets, and you know that's how they want it. I think it's important to lay it out there, especially after all that's happened with this organization and all the changes and all the haziness, and it's more important for them, I think, right now to just lay it out there, make it clear, and move forward and leave it alone, right? Which I think they are doing. But again, the Breer report comes out, and you're like, well, what the heck is going on? But to your point, PK, and good reporting on your part, you know, getting the specific language in that, the NFL language. I mean, isn't that kind of obvious already? I talked about this before, but it's like we know that there are head coaches that have that, right? So there's a primary football authority but doesn't have final. We already know that exists in the league, right?
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, Veach was a primary football authority who didn't have final say in the 53, right? Reed has it.
Joel says, PK's livelihood depends on running a website for Titans fans. Proceeds to call them softest fans in the league. Great marketing, PK. Hey, well, I'll let you respond to that. I won't defend you.
I've got the smartest fans of the team following my site. If you want to be amongst the smartest fans, then you can handle that there's a percentage of the fan base that is soft. And I think the smart Titans fans understand that there's truth to that. I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings.
So Indy Ben on the text line driven by
they get honesty at my place.
I let you defend yourself. I thought you defended yourself fine there. Indy Ben says, you know, that Brinker did an interview somewhere else and said that, you know, confirmed he has final say. So the question from Indy Ben is, so did he in fact lie to Borgonzi thinking he would have final say. I don't see why in the world he would take the job if he didn't get full control of the roster. Why go from a top organization as assistant GM to the worst dysfunctional team in the league and not even get full control of the roster? That is, I mean, the question of Borgonzi taking this job when I think he was a pretty attractive candidate who could have had other jobs is interesting.
Well, first off, there were only three jobs open in this cycle: Jets, Raiders, and this. If I'm not mistaken, at some point you've got to move. And this idea of going, this puzzles me. This idea of going to a bad team. Why would you go to a bad team? That's what executives need to do. You go to a bad team and you make the moves to make it a good team.
Right now,
that's the challenge.
Yes.
GMs aren't looking to, hey, you know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for the GM job to open at Buffalo so I could go continue to win at Buffalo or Baltimore.
You don't want to follow those jobs.
You
don't want to follow big success. You'd rather be, hey, 9-8, great job. But,
and I've been with a fantastic team my whole career.
Yeah.
So how much stature do I get being Veach's right-hand man? I'm going to go be with Chad Brinker and see if we can't build something together, and that would really tell people that I'm doing something.
Yes, but the 2 points there, one is still like the, okay, ultimately, do you believe that like you're going to be trumped a lot?
Well, he didn't come here under false pretenses. He doesn't think he's got control of a 53-man roster. They didn't dupe him to get him here. What a great start to a relationship that would be.
Well, that sounds absolutely ridiculous. And yet one of the best reporters covering the NFL wrote that he has final say. That I find really stupid. Okay,
yeah, I do too.
Now, another thing there is it's not just, you're right, of course, come into a place that's bad. J-Rob comes in, has a very good first offseason. Boom, J-Rob. And J-Rob, we trust. Look at this guy, right? But dysfunctional is a word Andy Ben used. And again, when you have questions about ownership and random decisions that we perceive, right? Like, wouldn't that also be a deterrent? Wouldn't that also be on the con side of the list?
Yes. But, again, virtually every team that is looking for a position like this or better is going to have a ownership question. I mean, New England didn't, but the Jets?
Yes.
Big ownership question. Raiders? You don't know what Brady's thing in there. Davis has fired a bunch of coaches, hired a GM and fired him in relative short order with Telesco. It's hard to find a great ownership situation. You know, Vrabel said in that article in The Athletic he really wanted to find good ownership, and he went to the best ownership situation.
I mean, what do we think?
Chicago's got steady ownership, but they've been pretty weak. Now, maybe they found somebody in Ben Johnson, but they hired the guy without meeting him face-to-face. How does that sound? Pretty weird, right? So you go to every market,
Jags,
and there's something weird.
You know, the Jags, you can look at that.
Khan's keeping Balky, who doesn't have a relationship with the head coach.
Right, which is why head coaches that they could hire are like, okay, I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, so you can go to every – I'm not saying this isn't weird and bad. I am saying there are conversations going on in every one of these markets about their own weird and bad situation, which doesn't make – I'm not saying that softens what's going on here. This is dysfunctional and bad. But you're having similar conversations on the radio right now in New York and Jacksonville and Chicago and Las Vegas.
Yeah. All right, well, we never got to what's driving me crazy. I swear I'm going to get to it. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal, who scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with us tomorrow morning at 8:45. We can do it at 8:45. Are we changing the time? Participate with us tomorrow morning. We're going to keep you guessing on the time, okay? How about that? Is that bad marketing or good marketing? Okay, we'll just say that. PK, you're a marketer. You're a marketer along with the journalists. Should I give them a time or should I just say, just listen to the whole show and then you'll find out?
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's what I did. It might be 8:45, might not. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Show. Robbie's sick today. Hopefully he's feeling better. PK's in before the big day of two big pressers. Lots of reaction coming. Here's what I'm sick of, PK. And I want us to pivot at some point during this hour. I am so sick of talking about people in suits. And you know what? It you know, it happens. It's like college football too. Like, it's so much of the big story is just like, what's Greg Sankey? What kind of plan is he hatching? You know, with the AD from Texas, Chris Del Conte or whatever. I mean, I understand these people are important, but it's like that Mike Borgonzi. Look at the way he attacks that sandwich. I tell you what. Yeah, Brinker's handicap's down to 6. This should be a really good matchup between these two on the golf course in May. Like, I'd like to talk about football and football players at some point, because actually that's why we give a crap about this. Like, I don't care, you know.
Yeah,
like,
you don't get that privilege in January 22nd unless your team's in the playoffs or just finished.
Well, there are playoffs going on. There are draft questions to address. We can talk, you know, we can talk free agents. We can talk draft. I'm just saying, it's enough already. This franchise has made it.
You have a tough time because there are press conferences today that are going to cover the rest of the week.
Oh, I know. I understand that it's not going to stop. I'm just like to bitch about it for a minute. Okay. Can you indulge me? All right. Thank you.
I mean, you got at least two segments of college basketball talk today, during which people flipped away.
Not at all.
Check the ratings meter and you'll see how it went.
I mean, the text line was very complimentary.
You, and you're taking that as representative of the entire audience.
They were excited. Will on Music Row, speaking of the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says, is the Chiefs front office actually good, or did they hit on a generational pick with Mahomes? I would say it's just Mahomes. It's the only guy.
I mean, their defense hasn't done anything to help them win.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, Mahomes. It's not like
you got to pay attention.
Yeah. It's not like Mahomes is in the MVP conversation. I still think I'd still pick him first among all the quarterbacks in the league. But, yeah, I mean, they've been a pedestrian offense and a tremendous defense. And really, that's been the trend here lately for the Chiefs. So
this guy thinks it's a one-man team.
And he's just asking the question. Maybe, you know, maybe he just wanted to
lob that up
for you. You know,
front office is very good.
Yeah, it's a very good front office. So tell me what, other than the obvious stuff, which is, again, it's already been clear. You know, I think Borgonzi's sort of perception of this job and what we were talking about with Indy Ben is interesting. I do look forward to what he says about that. But actually, before I ask this question, Stilly has texted me. He says, a disingenuous comment from you in your response to Andy Ben. Adam Peters didn't interview for this job with the Titans, not because they sucked, but because he didn't want to collab.
Yeah, Adam Peters, and he made out like a bandit. I mean, Adam Peters versus Rand Carthon is all you need to know about Rand Carthon. And he kicked his ass head-to-head this year. He had a better pick, obviously, that he was in position to get Jaden Daniels, but it's terrific.
Right, but his point being that, you know, he was, I guess, scared away or not interested in this job, you know, not because of the team, you know, being bad. Like, your point's right, but also he was just looking at the whole situation and something didn't sit right with him. Why was that not the case with a guy here?
Okay, but that's one example from a year where there were a ton of jobs. This year, was there somebody that Stilly wanted to interview with this team for this post that didn't interview? Because the list of candidates looked pretty solid to me.
No, I mean I think it's the other way. It's like, why does this candidate? Why is this candidate coming to this job given the red flags? Right.
I mean, I think he's got a good relationship with Brinker from a friendship before, and bought into what they sold.
Yeah, it'll be. That's,
I mean, I think it's the same reason that Brinker, hate him as much as you want, came for what Rand sold him, which is something that would score on the skeptical side of Brinker that Rand selling.
Yeah, although that would still qualify. First of all, he came to a place that had a good coach, right? He came to a place where it's like, well, oh yeah, but Vrabel can coach. He just came up here and kicked our ass a few months ago, right? I mean, that's the difference in perception. Whereas if you're coming to this job right now,
and it was a more clear promotion for Brinker, title wise, to get an assistant GM job.
Yeah, this place is way more of a bleep show now than then, right? It was headed that way. We didn't realize how much it was headed that way, but now it's like, it just keeps piling. It just keeps adding up and adding up.
But again, I'll say this is definitely a upgrade in job. Whether you know, here's a situation.
Well, it's
where
a huge
I think,
upgrade in pay. If you become a general manager from, you know, whatever your director, player, person, whatever it is, you know, assistant GM, it's a big financial leap.
Here's a situation where I think we make too much of the final say thing, because there are only 32 of this primary football executive posts, and he got one of these primary football executive posts.
Right. Yeah, sure. I mean, it's you're always going to get some level of good candidate for these jobs, just like with coaching. So bad owners, and as you've laid out, there's plenty of questionable ownership situations in the NFL. Like, they're going to luck into good people at times, right? Yes. Like, they're going to. But as a GM, more than a coach, you also, you should probably look at it like you have one shot. So maybe GM candidates should just be a little more selective than coaching candidates, because coaches can get recycled, right? GMs
don't
rarely get recycled. That's the thing. It's like, okay, Borgangio seemed to be on a track to, you're going to get one at some point. So why take this one? No, I mean, I think that's a very interesting question today for him.
Yes, I do too. But I think the fact that he came, no matter what his answer is today, puts to rest this nobody will ever come here thing.
Well,
because he's got a good resume.
Yeah, I mean, that's never, again, like, the franchise that ruined my childhood, which again now is just back to, you know, their destiny, but you couldn't really have much worse ownership than the Ford family forever, and they ended up getting, I mean, right now, a good coach, but the GM and the performance of their player selection and evaluation is insane. You know, so you lucked out. I mean, that's what happened. You're gonna pluck people from successful organizations. Everybody, whoever's, no one's out there trying to find, you know, Panthers people right now, Jets people, right, Titans people, right? You're going to go pluck from successful organizations and hope that you can carry some of that over to you, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Are they being destroyed for injuries, or are they a year or two away from, like, the Vrabel criticism for being, the Titans being hurt? Are the Lions getting hammered for being so hurt? Barnwell, who sent out a two deep,
the training
for their beginning of the season on defense, and 9 of the 22 guys were still standing.
I mean, they're all like broken legs and stuff. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not like
it didn't stop Titans fans from blaming the Titans training.
Yeah,
staff.
Except that the one year it was so much soft tissue, right? So a little bit different. But the similarity there is, it's the, well, you can build a great team with a good quarterback and it might work, but. And then Ryan Tannehill might throw 3 picks, and Jared Goff might throw 3 picks and fumble, and all of a sudden, boy, you needed to have a Jaden Daniels.
Eerily similar, except that people had expectations for the Lions going into the playoffs that year, and people did not, like analysts, did not have great expectations for the Titans. They were all like, this is a fake number one seed.
Well, sure, but
people didn't think the Lions were a fake number one seed.
No, but the Titans were supposed to beat the Bengals.
Yes.
And then you have one game against the Chiefs at home, and that had been a very good matchup for the Titans. So I don't think it was like this idea that no way they're going to the Super Bowl, right?
No, but a lot of analysts thought the Titans were a hollow one.
Yeah,
and they weren't surprised that the Bengals found a way to win that game.
All right, well, at least we're talking about football now. When we come back, we are going to get into a little bit of football and possible players who might be on the Tennessee Titans in the near future. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. PK in for his weekly appearance. Robbie's out sick today. Hopefully he's feeling better. And we have a lot more reaction, as you might expect, PK, on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. I got a question here from Josh. If Borgansi helped pick Mahomes, you trust him to pick the Titans' new quarterback? What have you gotten down to the bottom of? Was he the guy standing on the table? Was he the guy saying, "Andy, this kid out of Texas Tech"? I'm telling you, man. Remember, One of the great picks of John Robinson's tenure was your guy Blake Bedingfield, spending all day working Malarkey and Robinson and finally getting Malarkey on his side. And, you know, and John Robinson was not going to take Derrick Henry. So
that's a heck of a
possible
story.
Is it possible?
Don't know.
That this is actually the mastermind behind Patrick Mahomes?
Don't know. Can't say.
Does it, if you have a guy who's been in an organization with a quarterback like that, does that give you any sort of edge?
Well,
any sort
I mean,
of
he
insight?
Certainly has a feel for things, and he's with an organization that was smart enough to wait, be patient, not force things, not panic. All of those are good qualities to have when you're in the position that they're in. I was talking about this on a football show the other day, this idea, you know, somebody was asking, like, how could you value these top quarterbacks so differently, you know? And I was saying, you know, you could have a team that values Ward or Sanders at 10 that really from the beginning wants to like them, that's quarterback needy and really wants to like them. And so from the beginning is looking at everything shaded in a favorable way. And the Titans could have one of them at 20 and from the beginning wants to look at it in a way where we don't want to force it and we want to be really cautious here. And so they wind up rounding down from 20 because of that. And the other team is rounding up from 10 because of that. And all of a sudden, you become 25 spots apart, even though you don't view them that differently. And that's what the Titans need to be smart that way, if in fact that's a case similar to that, right? And you let the team that's champing at the bit, whichever way you to go up and get them, be that team. And you're talking draft and develop. Well, draft and develop and getting young players on the field early sounds great. You got to have some numbers working in your favor there. And we'll certainly talk about that today. But a standard draft class, and I think they have 8, maybe 9. They've got a couple extra, like extra fourth, but missing a third, you know,
right,
whatever. Isn't enough, you know, or it slows down the process if you're waiting on 3 standard draft classes as opposed to 2 draft classes that are boosted by numbers. So, you know, this Borgonzi's going to be defined by, and Brinker, by what they do with this number one pick. It's either got to be a quarterback that lifts you to new heights or it's got to turn into capital.
Well, so I agree. And that is what you just said there is where you said Borgonzi would be defined. Well, Brinker, too. I mean, it has to be just considered a tandem, right? It has to be. Yeah. It's a collaboration. They may not use the word today, but
thesaurus.
That's what it is.
Get out people out there, get out your thesauri. And give us the best alternatives to collaboration.
All right, I'll do it right now.
The words that they're going to have to use without using collaboration, because collaboration is now associated with failure.
Thesaurus.com. Let's see. Association?
No.
It's an association. A collusion?
bad.
Concert? Partnership?
Partnership.
Alliance, fraternization.
Partnership or alliance.
Okay, partnership, yeah. I think the alliance, you know, you can kind of, you know, it's like the rebels against the alliance.
Nick, clip this. If they use one of these words tomorrow, we will have been at the cutting edge.
Is it coopetition?
Coopetition.
Cooperation?
No. Coopetition.
Yeah, that's not going to be used.
Googled. Yeah, no.
Coopetition? Is that really a word?
That's really a word, yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. To the quarterback question, PK, and by the way, if we want to do just collaborate as a verb, we need to collaborate, okay? The verbs at thesaurus.com, collude, conspire, cooperate, participate, and hook up. It's just a big hookup here.
Get on the right page here. I mean, it could use it like that.
Yeah, there we go.
Anything that allows for memes of them hooking up,
yeah, would be like, bad. Like Mahomes and NFL officials. Every time I look at Twitter, I got Mahomes hugging an NFL official. By the way, on the quarterbacks, PK, it's a weekly thing. Any nuggets of information?
Mike Herndon says that Cam Ward's the only guy worth considering at 1.
Okay.
But That's my nugget for
I
need to sit down and do some watching, but I'll probably say that next week.
Yeah, there's no rush. I mean, really, there isn't. But it does seem to be. It feels like it might be going that way. Brugler's mock had Titans taking Ward first, and he had Shadur, I think, down at 6 in his last minus 10. And it feels like, these mock drafts, yes, it's your evaluation. Yes, it's watching film, but it's also talking to people and it's getting a sense.
Certainly for somebody like Brugler.
Well, and here's the thing about all that with misinformation. I'm going to repeat this a million times for the draft. So when you, because it's all the draft misinformation thing, right? If you hear a certain team this or that during this whole process up to the draft, be a little bit skeptical. This team really loves this guy. This team's thinking about doing that, right? But when executives are just asked to be part of a conglomerate of just your off the record, your unnamed opinion on something, usually you get reliable information. If you're a reporter who covers the league, covers a draft, and your relationships with the people is like, yeah, this isn't about you, it's just about what you actually think. I mean, you could look at it like, well, someone's still trying to, no, I'm going to say this guy really sucks and hope it works, but it's not going to work, right? I mean, if you're talking to enough people, that's not going to. So you tell, you're much more likely to get the truth in those situations. All of which is to say, as I see a little bit more of this sort of sentiment that maybe Sanders should be lower. And by the way, I've said all along, I don't love either of them, but I would go with Sanders because I think he's a little bit more consistently accurate, but whatever. I'm also not grinding the film and won't. But I do think that this probably represents an accurate opinion out there in the league, PK, that some people are a little bit higher on Ward than Sanders. And I do think the ceiling is probably higher for Ward than it is for Sanders. The floor may be higher for Sanders, but the ceiling is probably higher for Ward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think there's some concerns about Ward's inconsistencies. And lower body, if you will, footwork and mechanics.
Yeah, I mean, there's some decisions that, didn't cost him at Miami that absolutely will in the NFL. Multiple texters saying another word for collaboration is 3-14. So there you go. All right, we come back. We will wrap it up with PK. We will talk a little bit about the big weekend and what PK thinks we're going to see. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Final segment, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. PK in here for one more segment. Let's just get to this right now, PK. Who have you got this weekend? And if you have any big sweeping takes from last weekend, which is usually the best weekend of football.
I can't make an honest pick in Kansas City, Buffalo, because I'm rooting for Buffalo. I've got Kansas City fatigue. I really like what the Bills have done.
You can separate yourself, though. I mean, I think
they're going to win, and I want them to win.
You think the Bills will win?
And I really too. Want them to win. I've got Kansas City fatigue. I feel like it's a good breakthrough time. I really like how the Bills, despite it looking like a lesser team this year, have overcome that stuff and played well. It's kind of a little bit of a lesson in team over individuals to a degree. And Josh Allen is fantastic. I mean, that was a hell of a win over Baltimore, who's really good. And I got some questions about Baltimore as a playoff team, and I think those are fair questions that should be asked. And I think people tiptoe around that for some reason.
So you're talking about Lamar?
Yeah.
He was freaking incredible.
I'm just
saying. The turnovers are bad.
Well, he's not incredible when he turns the ball over like that because they don't win.
The pick was bad. The fumble, a stupid snap, whatever. He's
changing hands very casually while he's falling over. Right. That's a bad play.
He was driving them for the go-ahead TD, and Andrews gets it punched out.
Well, Andrews
was
terrible.
Right up and down the field. He puts the ball right there to tie it up and send it overtime.
Well, those are your
ball.
Big players. Andrews is one of your big players. Lamar is your big player, and they're turning the ball over.
Right, sure, but let's make sure that we have it correctly distributed. Okay, would you – look? I mean, Lamar, look, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Ultimately, of course, he has to win a Super Bowl. Just like for all those years, Peyton, is Peyton going to win a Super Bowl? Whoever, right? But people have wanted to take this not long ago to, even when he was up for his deal, is Lamar really that? Hell yes, I'll sign up for him all day long. Give me 10, 20 years of him as my quarterback. I'll take my chances. Maybe he won't beat Allen or Mahomes, but I didn't watch that game and think, boy, Josh Allen just way better than Lamar. Lamar made a mistake, and he was fantastic in the second half. Yeah. He was tremendous in the second half. I mean, do you not think that that narrative has been blown up?
I think he still makes mistakes at inopportune times in the game they need to win to keep going.
I mean, last year, you know, he makes probably the most ridiculous touchdown throw I've ever seen in a playoff game against Kansas City. Then Zay Flowers fumbles at the one.
Yeah.
No, well, Lamar can't get it done.
Last year wasn't him.
But regardless, I'm with you. I think most people want Buffalo to win. I think they will. The Eagles are probably lucky to be there. It almost should have been a Rams-Commanders. The NFC's
which
wild.
Been,
yeah.
I don't want the hot team to win. I want the best team over 17 games to win.
So Eagles-Bills.
I feel like that's Philly. I also live with a woman from Philadelphia. So I can't get caught up in Washington in my house.
Yeah. I am caught up in Jaden Daniels. And you can Caleb Williams might be great, but I'll take Jaden Daniels right now. And no questions asked. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro every year of his career, but I just think he's special.
He's been terrific. And I would expect them both to be good games, semifinals, unlike what we saw in the college football playoff, where it was disappointingly non-competitive, generally speaking.
Yeah, it got good for a minute, but Ohio State, much better team than Notre Dame. Brian Y says, if Shador is drafted, will PK renew his beef with Deion Sanders Jr.?
Yeah, we had a big beef with we said some things about Deion on our old show, and his son, I think it was Deion Sanders Jr., called in to defend him and was nonsensical, and we
– Was he here in Nashville just happening to listen to it?
I have no idea. Or somebody
said
told
it was on the
him
internet.
And he called in, but he was intellectually shredded, and it was spectacular. This was when his dad didn't know Kevin Byard's name.
Right. Yeah. We called Kevin Byard a fan or whatever.
I'll stand by it 2,000% that Deion Sanders was a terrible, terrible TV person.
No, he was very bad.
I think it's ridiculous that the NFL insists on employing people like that who don't put effort in and study up and whatever. I think the state of studio broadcasts on all platforms is horrible.
Well, I mean,
turn on Fox and they got like eight guys on there, and all they do is laugh at stuff that's not funny.
Yeah, it's like a sliding scale of your level of player and celebrity can buy you more leeway in terms of your competence.
Well, like,
right?
Why is Ryan Fitzpatrick a celebrity? Who asked for that?
No, but I mean, I think most of the people who are on these shows are they do. Their work. I think he and Richard Sherman are okay. I mean, I don't hate that dynamic, but I'm with you. The Fox thing, and they started the whole yucking around with Terry Bradshaw forever ago, right? Right. It is way too many voices, and it's very stale. All right, today, Titans, Brinker, Borgonzi, beyond the obvious, how's it working? And even we talked about Borgonzi. Why'd you take this job? What else? What's the to you, the biggest question we haven't dealt with today on the show that you're interested in having answered?
Well, they're not going to use the word collaboration, but I'm curious about like what they consider the key to their collaboration and how
their hookup,
how that's going to work, their collusion. Their partner, no, the words that they're going to use.
Alliance. This is the alliance.
Their partnership and their alliance. I might feed them one of those words in a question to see if they'll echo it back, and if a guy echoes it back, then we can make it a thing.
Yeah.
What's the key to your partnership?
But see, if you ask it during the Brinker presser, we can't echo back. Well, we won't have it recorded.
Still exists if he says it. It exists.
I mean, you guys are allowed to record, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can just bring it to the radio and just play it right in the front of the microphone. It's fine. You just play it on the microphone. Yeah.
You go ahead.
It'll be an audio clip. Well, it'll be from you. I'll give you full credit.
I'll follow the rules that are laid out, whether I agree with them or not.
Well, it's been a very interesting show. I appreciate you coming in
early. Yeah, look, the first sign of appreciation from Rexrow, when he's in true desperation, Nick, he actually appreciates.
He was talking about how
Kaharsky better get on his ass and get in here. And I was like, all right, I'm hitting the brakes.
All right,
we appreciate you slowing it down.
Maybe we'll see you more this week, possibly.
You'll see me the rest of the week. I look forward to hearing from Chase McCabe.
That'd be amazing. We will find out. And by the way, speaking of Chase McCabe, Chase and Big Joe coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Don't block the box.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.